like to convene the Finance Committee and welcome everyone back. We do have our new pages for the session that are with us, and they are Travis Reese and Don Danielson. And if you could just tell us a little bit about yourselves, maybe where you went to school, what communities you live in, and also which one is Travis and which one is Don. You can just stand there, I think. That'll be fine.
Well, I'm Travis. I'm Travis Reese. I'm a graduate of Winona State University.
We'll forgive you.
And I'm excited to be here. I'm glad to be helping you all out, and feel free to leave me down at any time, as I'm sure you all will.
So. Did you ever have Representative Pawlowski for a class?
No.
He does some teaching at Winona State, I think, don't you?
I avoided that track as hard as I could.
Okay.
I'm Don Danielson from Savage originally. I'm an alumnus of Winona State University as well. We're completely objective, don't worry.
Well, I used to teach about 20 miles from Winona. I didn't have a degree from Winona State, but I did take a couple of courses down over at Winona when I was teaching many, many years ago, and it's a good university. You guys made a good choice, with all kidding aside. So, okay, you will be our pages through the session, so thank you. We've been taking the roll, and we do have a quorum present. We do have the minutes from the September 11th meeting. That was a special session. I told Lil she's really keeping us on task here, because I had forgotten all about things like minutes from the special session, and they're in our packet. And I think, Representative Hilty, you've been here all along. Have you had a chance to look at them? Okay. Representative Hilty moves adoption of the minutes from September 11th. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The bill before us tonight is House File 2800, Representative Leader. And if Representative Leader is ready, we'll begin the overview. We also need Representative Houseman, because that was the last stop to... Representative Houseman.
Mr. Chair, I move the Capital Investment Finance Committee report for House File 2800.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Leader, do you want to move the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move House File 2800, First Committee endorsement. Be recommended to pass and referred to the Tax Committee.
Okay, that motion is before us, and then if you want to give us an overview, Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, basically, House File 2800 is a transportation finance bill, and we hope to provide funding for highways and transit in this bill. And
I should have asked. We've been distributing the author's amendment. Did you want to take that up now, or wait until you were done with your?
You want the amendment first? We can do that fine.
Then it'll be in the order that you wanted. It might eliminate a couple of questions a little later. So, Representative Leader, why don't you move the amendment and then just briefly explain it?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move amendment number H2800A16.
The motion is before us, Representative Leader.
Oh, we don't have any warning. We got Mr. Chair, this is an author's amendment, and it came up in the committee last evening. It was a little bit difficult to determine the intent if you read the language in the bill, and Representative Beard raised the question. It deals with the distribution of some of the metro sales tax to, if you want to call it, to bike trails. And if you read the original language, it appeared they could get 5% of the total sales tax. And that's not the intent, and that's not the way it was written. But to clarify it, this amendment clarifies it to say 5% or basically 1.25 before the awards in the sales tax, general sales tax for the metro area. It's divided 50% for metro transit, 25% for metro highways, local roads, I mean, and 25% flex account, flexible, can be used for whatever they decide in transportation. And this amendment applies to what we call that flexible account, would provide that 5%, or not 5%, we had 5%, but it points to, it amounts to 1.25% of the awards before. We insert the language, if you look at the bill, it inserts in line 20, or 27, page 22. Before the word awards, insert total. That means out of the total flexible count, they can only get up to 5%. And in page 32, line 32, we had a problem in the bill. It describes that trunk hybrid bridges, basically the ones that should be rebuilt, would be what we call fracture critical, and I'll get into that in the home bill. But that wasn't probably too clear, so with this we clarified what we mean by that particular portion that pertains to the bridges that come under this to need to be rebuilt, repaired, or closed. And on page 32, after in line 32, after design, insert the following words: except that a specific bridge may remain in continued service if the reasons are documented in the report required under subdivision 5. We require the MnDOT to have a report on the bridges that are going to be built, and the bridges, why they didn't build a bridge if it was fracture critical, and also if they built one, we want to know what the costs were and what the problems were. This basically clarifies that language, Mr. Chair. And that's the total of the author's amendment.
Okay, any discussion on the author's amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Leader?
You just want to go through the, are there other amendments or don't we have?
No, I just wanted to get the bill in the order that the author wanted it, and then we'll take any other amendments after you're done with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, in the Transportation Finance Bill, we provide for the imposition of a 5-cent gasoline tax, which is effective, 2 cents is effective after we pass the bill, and 3 cents would roll in September 15th. And after that, there's a up to 2.5 cent surtax. The surtax would be used to pay the principal and interest on the trunk highway bonds that are in the bill. And there's also an index in the bill, which is based on the Consumer's Price Index, and that would begin also in the year 2010. And that's based, again, like I say, on a CPI. In addition to that, we have a motor fuel tax credit, which really applies to the two income brackets, low income brackets in your income tax. It allows them to get, to some degree, reimbursed if there's an additional cost to them for the additional cost of the gasoline tax going up. And that's kind of a technical thing. The tax committee, the tax people kind of wrote the language for us because it's very technical how they apply for it and how they get it. But anyhow, that's some language that the governor requested to be in the bill, and we have it in the bill. And ironically, it's quite a big payback compared to what monies we'd get in. So the monies that are distributed from this account of the lease sales tax on motor vehicles, the top of that goes back to repay the credit. As you know, if you took it out, you can't constitutionally take it out of the gasoline tax or the motor vehicle tax. Even if you collect it in that, you can't take it back out to repair it. So we have to repay it with general funds, and this lease vehicle sales tax is a general fund that we use to repay this motor fuel tax credit. Mm-hmm. In the bill, we provide for the 10-year period. of $2.2 billion for Trunk Highway Bridge Bond, or not bridge bond, Trunk Highway Bonding. We bond the first year in 2009 for $5 million, and in 2010 for additional $5 million. So the first 2 years are actually $1 billion of bonding. Each subsequent year is $150 million for the total of $2.2 for the 10-year period. In addition to that, in the 2009 and the 500, we take 300 of that specifically assigned to bridges, and 200 goes to highways. And that's the same for the second year. So in essence, we have $600 million in bridge bonding in the first 2 years. And the rationale behind that is the department, in department records, they have all the list of bridges, and they also list the structural capability or what condition, their condition rating is really what it is. And our condition rating is based on some federal language which all the states use for inspecting bridges. And their index is from 0 to 100. So through the inspection process, when they go through it, each bridge gets some number assigned to it based on their inspection. And that's called a sufficiency rating. Any bridge that has a sufficiency rating of less than 50 is listed on what they call a fracture critical list, or structurally obsolete. We have taken the most fracture critical list, the top 13 out of their list, and we took the cost that the department had originally estimated they would be for the 13 bridges in the trunk highway system. The total cost of those 13 was $660 million. We're providing monies of up to $600 million in the first 2 years, which in essence could, after the bill were to be signed, you technically could just about let those bridges under contract, because those type of bridges are not small bridges. They usually run anywhere from $100 to over $300 million a year. The normal highway construction budget runs around $500 million a year. So the department has really not been able to say they could program one of those large bridges under their revenue sources right now, because it would just destroy their total bridge, or their total money for the rest of the state, basically. And that's the reason I think we can be critical of the department, and we shouldn't be, because they haven't had the money to actually program it or get to these bridges. If this bill were to pass, they would have $600 million to at least address that problem. It doesn't necessarily mean those particular bridges would be built, but the money is there for those particular bridges that could be built. And it's a lot of factors why they wouldn't build them. They have to buy right away, get the plans out, and do environmental statements and all that. But a lot of them would at least be programmed or at least put under construction. And that's why we have $600 million in that first part of the trunk highway bonds. In addition to the trunk highway bonds, we have local bridge bonding monies. The local bridge bonding monies are general obligation bonds. You can't use trunk highway bonds, bonding monies outside of the trunk highway system. So normally the local bridge bonds were, in some cases, in the capital investment bill. Prior to the last few years, they always were in this transportation finance bill. All the bridges were always in the transportation finance bill. They're back in there. We're addressing all of those bridges. But nevertheless, the monies are general fund monies, and they're basically, you have to get some general fund money from somewhere else. And that was normally in the target for the capital investment bill. So what has happened here, in examining the fracture critical bridges on a local system, it was determined that $50 million would take care of a major part of the initial problem, because we don't have any more money to put in it. And as Representative Hausman just indicated, it was passed out of the capital investment bill, approving that $50 million. We passed it this afternoon. In addition to that $50 million for bridges, there's $10 million in GO bonds, which goes for local road improvement. That's the title of it. But in the local road improvement section, there have been some different categories. One was roads of regional significance, and one was the safety provision, and I think there's one more provision. We assigned $10 million of the GO bonds to the local road improvement program, but it's identified to go for safety program. So that takes care of all the bonding, Mr. Chairman. And actually, the next revenue source is tab fees. And if you remember, when Governor Ventura was here, he lowered the tab fees and put a cap on it. He capped the tab fees. The first year that happened, it actually took roughly $170 million out of the highway user tax monies. And other years subsequent to that, it's over between two and three hundred million, which we don't get, which we would have gotten if he wouldn't have changed it. So what this tab fee thing does, it restores part of that loss by changing our depreciation schedule and taking the caps off of the vehicle tab fees. This change will not hit anyone unless you buy a new vehicle. Your existing license fee will stay the same. It can't go up. It can go down, but it can't go up if you have the same vehicle. But if you buy a new car, that's when you're going to be affected by this new tab fee. And if you look at the way revenue comes in the gasoline tax or the tab fees, the first year, 2009, is a short year. In 2010, a lot of this doesn't, the impact isn't seen until past 2010. So that's why we were concerned, even on the bonding portion, that we get some early money, because of the economic situation in the state of Minnesota right now. If you get early money out there, a lot of this money would be spent as soon as, or could be spent and obligated, and we put people back to work and address a problem that's kind of hampering us right now as far as the budget situation goes. The next item we talk about is the motor vehicle sales tax, which I spoke a little bit about, where we have that tax credit. And the motor vehicle sales tax generates general fund monies. And that general fund monies is split 50% to Greater Minnesota Transit, as I indicated, and 25% to Metropolitan Transit. And the last 25% is split 17.25% to county state aid highways and 17.75% to municipal state aid streets. And that takes care of that, all of those money. That's the only way we can get money to fund rural transit. And while I'm speaking about rural transit, we also took care of Metro Transit to the degree we could. But Metro Transit also has a provision for a half-cent sales tax. Now, the half-cent sales tax is implemented at the request of the five counties, at least, in seven-county metro area. They met with Senator Murphy and I, and Representative Hornstein and Senator Dibble. And this is kind of what they requested, the way the funds should be distributed, and it also does not have a referendum in the seven counties metro sales tax. The monies that will be generated there are 50% to Metro Transit, 25% to Metro local roads, and 25% to flexible accounts. And that flexible account can be used transit or highways, and that's just what I spoke about in the actually can be used for bike trails, and that's where we had the language to clean up the language where 5% or equivalent to 1.25 could be used for bike trails in this metropolitan area. And that comes out of that addressed against that flexible portion of that. And in the bill, we also indicate, which there's an optional provision as we had in the previous bill, for sales tax in the rural area. Of course, under statute right now, any county over a million people can implement a sales tax. What they have to do is by referendum. And we just reiterated that basically in this bill. The other change in the bill, which we had again last year, the county state aid formula monies are distributed by the state aid section annually based on a formula based on the highway user tax monies. They could maybe back up a little bit, are distributed on a formula 62% to trunk highways, 29% to counties, and 9% to municipalities, which are municipalities over 5,000. The cities under 5,000 actually come into the county state aid portion. That's the present distribution formula for the 20-cent gas tax. Under this bill, under the new additional gas tax money for new revenue source from vehicles, registration, that's distributed by a new formula which has been agreed by the Association of Minnesota Counties. And I think many of you are aware for the last 25 or 30 years there's been an ongoing debate about changing the formula. This formula that we have in the bill was agreed by the Association of Minnesota Counties, and that's why we have it in here. That formula is 60% based on need and 40% based on vehicle miles. But that only applies to what we call the new money. And basically, when that formula is distributed in either one, the combination of the two formulas makes what we call the new highway user tax money. The top 5% of that is distributed before, is taken off before the 95% is distributed. The top 5% provides for administration costs, for turnback roads, for town bridge account and town highway account, and there's one other little one. They can be changed, that formula on the top 5% percentages can be changed by the legislature every 6 years. So we tied in the indexing to that and said the legislature could look, change, or eliminate the indexing every 6 years along with these other items. And I believe, Mr. Chair, that's a quick summary of the bill.
Okay, thank you, Representative Leader. What I thought we might do is take any amendments we have now and then questions on the bill before we vote on it. I do have one amendment here by Representative Anderson. Where is he? Representative Anderson here?
No.
I guess not. So we'll take questions, and anybody have any questions on the bill, and maybe he'll arrive before we get done. Representative Junkie.
Well, my question, Mr. Chair, is kind of related. I suppose it's the Anderson Amendment. There's no name on it. I was reading that. And if you go to page 19 and 20, one of the problems I see with the bill in that section, not only, and the Anderson Amendment starts to address it, but doesn't go far enough. Eligible county is any county for this. You're setting up a transportation area, and then you're later on in this section going to set up a joint powers board, which is the right way to go. It's not quite all the way yet, but eligible county is any county in the metro, the carved out the seven county metro, or a county that is adjacent to any county that is part of that. Unfortunately, again, you're leaving out counties beyond that. And a classic example in this country that I visited, along with Representative Workman and Malnau and Wagenius and Marco and Leader and others, as we traveled to Dallas, Texas, to look at their system in 1997, I believe, as we were planning this, they had a joint powers or a rail authority down there. And county by county or district by district, you were allowed to, every 5 years, I believe, opt in or out of that authority by vote of the area. However, if you opted out of the sales tax in the area, that was fine, but you didn't get any train stops in your county either, okay, or any transit stops or any busway stops. You were out of that authority area. The way this bill is set up right now, you're excluding a county like Kandi Ojai. If they want to come in, but Meeker County does not, and they're adjacent to Wright County. So as you go out, if we want to run a commuter rail line, which we do someday, Representative Erdahl and I, the Little Crow line, which you'll hear about later, but if we want to run a line in from Kandi Ojai County someday, until Meeker County joins this, we can't do it by this bill. We can't start paying the tax by vote and start developing our line. This isn't structured right yet. And I know I can, and I have, actually, Matt was working on a bill, but it's not here yet, and I don't know where it is. And it was a joint powers bill that I was hoping to bring into this conversation this year. But obviously that's not going to happen the way this is moving. But for next year, maybe we can redo it. But it's not addressed in here yet. And you know, when you go into the Joint Powers Board, it's not addressed in there either. Who's on the Joint Powers Board? And it doesn't say, or subsequent counties that come in, or there's a lot of holes in the Joint Powers Agreement in here yet, I think, for future consideration. And that could be true on the North Star line that's running. If St. Cloud and Benton County doesn't want to come in, but Rice County or whatever is north of there wants to do it up to Rice, I mean, there's three or four counties in there. One might not choose to do it. If that line runs through it, all of a sudden the next county's not eligible to belong. So,
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Junkie, this is designed for the seven county area. Anything you have should be, I think, a separate bill. And that was the reason. This is at the behest of the counties in here.
Mr. Chair and Representative Leader, that's not what your bill says. Right now, eligible county means any county. I'm looking at lines 19.15. Eligible county means any county that has not imposed a transportation, sales, and use tax, and that is adjacent to any county that is part of the metropolitan area. But what if you're not adjacent to it, is my question.
I'm sorry, I didn't really listen to it. I think perhaps I'd let Mr. Burris respond to that, because we're looking at another section in the bill.
Yeah, I think the question was just what happens if a county's not adjacent to...
Adjacent counties now can join the Joint Powers by vote, if Anderson put his amendment on, by vote of the county. They could then join in and pose the use tax and become part of the Joint Powers Agreement for the transitways or the rail or whatever you're running. What about a non-adjacent county that wants to do that? Just because an adjacent county, they might not want to do it, but the next county might.
That's the problem.
And that's the problem with this bill as it sits today.
Mr. Chair, that's not a problem. It's designed that way because if one county you're talking about doesn't join and the adjacent one does, just as you pointed out, the guy in the middle is getting a free ride. So this was designed for the metropolitan area, not for greater Minnesota to that extent, although we realize that you could do it. And I doubt if you're going to live long enough to see every county opt in. But
did you want Mr. Burris to respond as well? Mr. Burris? Am I pronouncing your name right, Burris?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Matt Burris with House Research. Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie, that is the case for the metro area sales tax, but there is an additional provision for the greater Minnesota sales tax. I'll refer you to page 24, starting on line 3.
Mr. Chair? Before I go too much further, I'm not talking about the rural tax. I understand that part of it. I'm talking about what if a non-adjacent county wants to become part of the Metropolitan Taxing District, Joint Power District, for commuter rail or a transitway or whatever this is eventually going to form into. I understand the rural tax. You can take a vote. You can vote a tax. You can take care of your transit system out there. But what if you want to become a part? If you're running a commuter, I'll use the example again. I'm going to use a hypothetical. We set up the Little Crow line that runs from Minneapolis Station to Benson, Minnesota, or to Wilmer, Minnesota, or somewhere in west central Minnesota. 100 miles out is the Wilmer stop, okay? This bill allows Wright County, which is a part of the seven county, they'll be paying that fee and be part of that transit line. This bill also allows adjacent counties to opt in with a vote, if Representative Anderson amendment goes on, so that the next adjacent county then would be Meeker County. So they could get in with a vote. If Meeker County decides they don't want to do it, Meeker County won't get any station, and the train won't stop in Meeker County if they're not going to do it, I suspect. Candy-like County does, and they want to be part of the metro sales tax. This is a hypothetical, but it could be that way going to Rochester, it could be that way going up to Duluth. We're going to have a line we're talking about from Duluth, and just because an adjacent county in the city doesn't necessarily want to be part of it, doesn't mean the next county doesn't want to be part of that line. And we're not addressing that in here on how a non-adjacent county can become part of the system, because otherwise you're under the auspices of the county that's in between. And in Texas, that's exactly what they did. You didn't have to vote in. If you want to be Meeker County, say, we ain't paying the tax, we don't want to be part of it, that's fine. The train don't stop in Litchfield, okay? But it does stop in Wilmer then, because they're paying it. And this doesn't address how that mechanism comes into play, which the bill that we were working on, Matt, did. But if this moves forward, we're kind of locking in some of these summations already. And again, I'm not asking for you to fix it right now, but it's something I think we need to think about. We only have a couple more committee stops here. And this is the first time I've seen the bill. The research.
Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie, we're fully aware of that, but as I indicated, this is initiated as designed for the metro area, and one of the problems we've had is what you said. The other problem we have is depends on where it's at, and if we can take a couple of counties, like you said, if the metro county has a commuter line which goes out to Big Lake now, you're actually in a county that doesn't participate in the sales tax. In the meantime, they're getting a service. In the south end of the line, you've got a city that's utilizing the whole park and ride, and their county doesn't pay a penny towards sales tax. And that's why they were trying to address it the way it is in this bill. And I'd have to admit, we are not accommodating, we're not reaching out that far. And I think if that happens, that's something we'll have to address later. We looked at it pretty hard, and because of all the ramifications in here, we left it as it is with the seven county metro area because of the Joint Powers Board. That's what they kind of requested. I don't know if that answers it, but that's basically what's happened.
Well, it doesn't, but we'll keep on.
Yeah. And I think, as you indicate, I recognize that you would hope that a lot of them would jump in, but as you indicate, there might be some that may not, but in the meantime, that won't happen, I think, in the next year or two, probably. Because this, even if this sales tax were implemented, it effectively cannot be implemented, I believe, till next January 1st, and that's right, reflected. So you've darn near got a year lost before the counties could even consider doing something in here, as far as that goes. But I don't have a better answer than that, Representative Junkie.
Any other discussion on the bill? And okay, we passed over your amendment, Representative Anderson, because you weren't in the room, and I said we'd revert back to it after we concluded questions on the bill. So if you want to move your amendment, now's the time.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, I'd like to move the amendment, H-2800-A13 amendment, to be included in the transportation on this bill.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment, Representative Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, and the amendment really is exactly what we were discussing about, and I'd have to say that at this point, it's difficult to adopt a particular amendment under the government provisions that we have in the bill. And I think I'd have to say I don't recommend its passage.
Okay, so the author apparently wants to keep that dialogue that we were talking about earlier going, and would prefer the amendment not be adopted. Any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, seeing of Kristen Graffel.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Leader, actually I think this is a different subject area, unless I'm wrong, Representative Anderson. This has to do with whether we're going to export the referendum, or we're going to export the lack of a referendum that's in the metro area to adjacent counties. This is not whether joining the joint partnership board. This is a separate issue. This is whether the folks in Goodhue County, who right now have the option of a referendum, are going to get optioned into a program where they're no longer going to get the referendum. Unless I'm wrong, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Graffel, it is in regard to like Wright County, where I'm situated. If the county doesn't have any say, but they're adjacent to the metro area, they're going to be put upon to be considered as far as the sales and use tax here to be part of the eligible counties it'll soon be the metropolitan county. And what we're asking for here is that the county put forth at the general election an opportunity for the voters to say yay or nay as to whether they want to be a part of it. That way they can make a decision as to whether they want to have that sales and use tax put upon them at the county level, rather than just by acclamation or without even having to say a word, be included in the metropolitan area.
Mr. Chair, my understanding, Wright County is not part of the seven county metro area. In this case, it's never been included as a seven county. Isn't that correct?
That's right. It's not been included. But
so, I mean, that's what I mean. So they can't impose that sales tax on you if you're not part of the seven county, basically, unless you'd elect to join. And if you elect to join, you're indicating they should have a referendum, and that's contrary to the rest of the portion for the seven counties.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion defeated. Those are all the amendments that I have. Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the motion by Representative Leader that House File 2800, the first committee engrossment, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Tax. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
It is, Mr. Chair.
Division has been requested, so all of those in favor, please raise your hand. Nays. Seeing 21 ayes and 8 noes, motion is carried. And I would want to point out the time that we had scheduled for tomorrow was in case we weren't able to get done this evening, so tomorrow's Finance Committee is canceled. And then on Monday, that meeting is canceled as well because we're going to be having a series of forums, as I understand it, provided by the Native American community, and they are going to be using that time in the AM, and I think the leaders on both sides of the table have been encouraging everybody to be sure to participate in that, so that will be what's happening Monday in the AM. And then our next meeting with the Finance Committee will be Wednesday, February 20th at 6 p.m. So I think we got done early enough for everybody to have a good Valentine's Day event or party or whatever your planning is, and so with that, meeting adjourned.